Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Nakun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And this week, we have a full house. That's right, we got a full house of co-hosts. With Joey Alibro and Scott King back after a short hiatus, and Adam and Eva, my usual partner in crime from the Burgundy and Gold Report. This is awesome. We're back in the saddle again, boys, and we are ready to rock. First, before we get rolling, quick congratulations to Joey for being part of the coaching and operations staff for Prince Avenue Christian's football team and helping to lead them to their first ever Class A private state championship, beating Trinity Christian 41-21 about a month ago. Nice work, Joey. Really quick, best memory from the run.
Well, I appreciate the congratulations. It will forever go down as the longest season in Georgia high school football history because of that two-week delay with COVID.
Right.
Favorite memory, definitely the final horn there in the fourth quarter. Things are kind of getting a little dicey, but we pulled through. Couldn't be more proud of the players, the coaching staff, everybody else along the way, and excited for spring practice to start back up here in a few months.
So I don't know if you heard this, Joey, but on Ryan's last regular episode, I threw out a little bit of a congrats to you for your accomplishment there, and he said, "No way, we're not ending my last show as a regular. Kudos to Joey. There's no way." And he went all on. I went all in on that. So I suggest you go ahead and spam his social media now that you know that he just couldn't deal with you getting kudos at the end of the show on the last show that he was a regular. So anyway, Scott, I know you got ready to sound off since your Detroit Lions made a splashy, really splashy trade recently. And we're going to dive into that later in the show, so I'm excited to hear what you have to say about that. And finally, Adam, we've had one full week of the Burgundy and GoldReport.com, your newly launched site, which you announced on our podcast last week. It looks amazing, my friend. Everyone go check that out. And and if you haven't already, you're missing out. That's all I got to say. So, all right, plenty to talk about today as we're going to discuss the Senior Bowl, the aforementioned Stafford and Goff trade, break down Super Bowl 55, go through our annual prop bet pick, and much, much more. So let's get rolling. All right, let's start with the Senior Bowl, which was this past Saturday in Mobile, Alabama, where some of the top college prospects had an opportunity to show us their stuff. Yeah, the draft begins in Mobile. So, all right, let's start with you, Adam. Give us your Senior Bowl standouts that you want to highlight and why.
Yeah, prior to the Senior Bowl, I released two articles. One, the five under-the-radar prospects to watch, and five defense under-the-radar prospects to watch. As far as the game goes, I put a lot less focus in the actual game itself and more about the week of practice. So on offense, the first guy I wrote about was wide receiver Shai Smith from South Carolina. He was mentored by Debo Samuel. He shows the same toughness, not the same size, shade under 5'11", about 185. So, you know, small guy. But all week he just made plays in the game. He made a couple nice plays. So I was glad to see him come through all year with South Carolina. Just see him take those big hits of the middle. I like him as a day three option for, you know, a couple teams that are slot needy out there. On defense, a guy that I love, he actually balled out in the game. His name is Richie Grant. He's actually the free safety DB from University of Central Florida. He actually picked off Newman twice in the practice that week, and then the game he just, you know, kept on, you know, stepping up, making plays, always in the right area. Six foot one and a half, 227. This guy's tailor-made for the NFL. I wrote about him before. Just going on a lot of the draft grades out there, I look at TDN as a basis. That's usually one I look at. But they had him in the second, third-round range. But I think with the week he had, just the overall hype on him right now, there's going to be no combine between now and then. So I think second, third round, he's probably going to go early second, and who knows, there'll be somebody that bites in the late first round. But Richie Grant, UCF, and
too many acronyms
from South Carolina. Yes, way too many are the two guys that I came over the Senior Bowl. I really like Kellen Mond. He's an article I have coming out this week. Really like his performance before the game. Really wasn't sold, but the guys I mentioned, Shai Smith and Richie Grant, they're two really good day two and day three guys to keep an eye on.
Wow. See, there you go, guys. That's the type of content you get if you go to the burgundyandgoldreport.com, because we got those articles out there, and you got a lot more of that. But, hey, why not take about a 5 second hit here and listen to all the highlights? That's some good stuff. All right, Scott, let me turn to you. What are your thoughts on the Senior Bowl? Any standouts you want to highlight?
Yeah, I think it was an interesting point about the not being a combine this year and how much emphasis
right.
they put on the Senior Bowl. And one mm-hmm. one guy that I saw that was getting a lot of run that actually didn't even play in the game was Mac Jones, quarterback out of Alabama. And,
right.
You know, it was so important that players that didn't want to play in the game still showed up in practice. And I saw a lot of positive reaction to his play and even talk of him, you know, kind of solidifying himself in the first round, which I think might be a bit of a stretch, but for sure at the beginning of the year, he wouldn't have been in that conversation at all. And then Kellen Mond, I know, played and played pretty well too. So, you know, I think you find him somewhere in the mid rounds getting picked up would be my expectation. But,
right.
you know, this is pretty much the last chance to see these guys playing before, you know, individual workouts and things without the combine. So it's just an interesting, you know, continues to be an interesting kind of 12-month window here for the NFL and college football, that's for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And of course, quarterbacks are going to be fascinating as they move on into the draft season because of the fact that clearly there's a market for them. Clearly there's going to be a lot of movement this offseason, and that's going to kind of segue us into our next part here when we talk about Stafford and Goff. Before we go, though, I do want to make one mention of Michael Carter, who really kind of stood out for me. And I know that if Ryan was here, he would say poo-poo on running backs in the draft. But you know what? He did look solid. 8 carries, 60 yards, and a touchdown, 2 catches for 15 yards this Saturday. I thought he looked great. I mean, he had a lot of burst, and, I mean, he was finding those gaps. I mean, he looked explosive. He led the nation in runs of 20-plus yards of 18. I mean, he just looked like a guy that could be a great part of a combo backfield or even an early down back if you want somebody who's a little more shifty. So I liked him. I really liked him. And I actually liked him even back when I saw him play during the year, and I obviously saw him play against Notre Dame earlier in the year as well. So that was a lot of fun. So anyway, Senior Bowl beginning, maybe the last time we get to see them play on the field with no combine, as we all said. So very interesting. Probably going to be a lot more to talk about there. But for now, let's move on to the next topic. As I kind of just previewed, hit the bell on this, and talk about that Stafford and Goff trade, because the Detroit Lions acquired Jared Goff in addition to a 2021 third-round pick, 2022 first-round pick, and a 2023 first-round pick from the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for Matthew Stafford. With the trade, the Rams will now go 7 seasons in a row without a first-round pick. The Rams signed Goff to a 4-year, $130 million contract extension after his third NFL season and will take a significant dead money hit. Goff will count for $22.2 million on LA's books in 2021 while he is playing in Detroit, while the Rams will inherit the 2 years and $43 million remaining on Stafford's contract. Stafford is expected to play out the remaining 2 years of his contract for $34 million with the Rams. Similarly, Stafford will count for $17.8 million on the Lions books in 2021, and Detroit will inherit the 4 years and a whopping $106.6 million remaining on Goff's deal. But importantly, there is no guaranteed money left on Goff's contract, so the Lions can just walk away after the season if they choose. All right, let's start with you, Scott. You're the big Lions fan in the house here, so what's your reaction to the trade and grade both sides?
Yeah, so this one definitely we knew was coming, that the Lions were going to move Stafford after they both agreed to it, and I am an eternal Lions pessimist. I crush this team all the time. If you follow me on Twitter, I don't give them an ounce of credit ever. However, I have to give them credit on this trade for sure. I didn't know what they were going to do when they moved Stafford. I was afraid they were going to get like a box of Twinkies or something. But to move Stafford to a team, and I'm happy for him to be in Los Angeles in a competitive situation where he's definitely going to make a run at the playoffs. Happy for him. Detroit gets, you know, let's be honest, this guy was in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and people are sort of all of a sudden forgetting that Goff can actually play quarterback.
Right.
Detroit gets a bridge guy on a quarterback, 2 first-round picks, which are gold, even though they are in the future, and a chance to really reset the organization. I have to give the Lions an A+. And like I said, on the money side, I mean, they're really winning. It's almost like an NBA expiring contract. So the Lions, for sure, I'm going to give him an A. From the Rams side, I mean, look, Stafford's great. I've got jerseys here with me in my office. I'm looking at one of them autographed by him. Like, the guy's amazing.
Right.
But, you know, is he that much better than Goff? I think we'll see. I don't know that, I saw some pretty lazy over the week that was saying that now the Rams are a Super Bowl contender. And I was thinking, we mean now, like, that's
right.
Not going to catapult them that much. So, but, you know, I gave him a B minus just because I like Stafford. I think the picks, they're giving up a ton of picks and the dead money's kind of weird, but, overall, I am happy for the Lions, but I can't walk away from the Lions without crushing them a bit. I absolutely hate the Campbell hire at head coach. I think he's he'd be a good strength and conditioning coach or maybe a D coordinator who's young and bashing his head against the wall. But as a head coach, you know, I prefer a little more analytics and math than talking about calling himself the dude and whatever else antics he has going on. So I look forward to be proven wrong there. And I will say he's assembling quite the coaching staff. He's assembled like a 1990s, 2000 Pro Bowl team as his coaching staff. So we'll see how he does there. But I'll give him a little bit of credit, but I can't walk away without crushing more.
Well, you see how well Gruden is doing. So, hey, who knows? Anyway, and Brad, of course, big first move for new GM Brad Holmes. And I believe he actually scouted Goff while he was with the Rams. So maybe he has some insider information there. Who knows? Yeah, it looks like there's some possibilities. So let's turn it over here to Joey. Let's get your thoughts on this trade. What do you think about the Stafford-Goff trade, and why don't you grade the sides?
I would give the Lions an A+. That was a lot more return for Stafford than I thought they were going to get. I thought a first would start the conversation for him and a first and a second would probably get it done. But to net two firsts and a third plus Jared Goff in return for Stafford was pretty excellent for them. They have a lot of options now in terms of what they can do in the draft this year and years beyond. And let's see if they roll with Goff this year. I'm sure they will, but they could always take another quarterback in the first round this year. And if the whole Goff thing doesn't work out this year, then take one next year. In terms of the Rams, I think Stafford is a pretty massive upgrade over Goff. I know Scott's watched Stafford more than I have, obviously. and he didn't seem to think that it was that significant of an upgrade. But kudos to the Rams for, being willing to move on. That's like the biggest thing in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
This willingness to move on at the right time.
Right.
And the Rams have done that time and time again. And I saw Bucky Brooks tweet something like, oh, what does it say about McVay? Like, he's willing to move on from stars like Gurley and Goff or whatever. I'm like, did you watch Todd Gurley play football last year? It's a miracle he can still walk.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's sad. I'm a Georgia fan, of course, but, I, in that sense, I do give the Rams an A for this trade as well. Just balls to the wall. Like, if we're going to win this thing, let's win it now. Let's not, like, hope to get lucky and that Goff will miraculously play well again. And a lot of people give them crap for signing to the extension or whatever. But what else were they supposed to do in that situation? Goff was playing well. They had gone to a Super Bowl with him. They would have gotten way more flack for cutting ties with him then than they are now.
Sure.
So I think both sides definitely win in this kind of trade.
Yeah, definitely good points there. Maybe Stafford can be their version of Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. You see how that kind of changed things for them. So, Adam, what about you? Tell us about what your reaction to the trade is and give us some grades.
Great point about McVay. You know, as a Washington fan, we were sad to see him go, honestly, because he was one of, next to Kyle Shanahan, probably the two best minds that we had in Washington for the last decade plus. But I think what he's doing over there is he knows exactly what he's got. He's got a window right now. I don't think that he'll get 2 years, 3 years, and he's fired. I think they probably have a good relationship over there. But I think what he realizes with this defense, with everything that they have in place, Stafford could be enough to put him over that hump. I'm not sure. Knowing McVay, I think you're going to see them air it out a lot more now, considering that they have Stafford, a quarterback that's able to fit in a lot more tight windows. Golf, I questioned his accuracy from the beginning. I thought he was one of the most overrated first round guys since Sanchez, probably. So I think that, you know, what Detroit has right now, I think hearing a Detroit fan here on both sides, I have a little more clarity of the whole situation. So, you know, initially I was thinking Fields would probably be a guy that Detroit gets, but now seeing the money and how everything works, you know, how they can get away from this contract, I'll give them an A+ too, because I think they could go any direction right now, probably with that first pick in the first round. And, you know, really with all those extra picks next year, that's all in for the whoever the top quarterback is. So A+ right now, this is going to set him up for A+ next year. McVay, I'll give him a solid B for it. I like Stafford, but, man, this compensation, I felt stupid because, honestly, before it all happened, I said, you know, I really think we could see maybe a first, but most likely a package of second, third, and the players. But to see this many high picks involved, it shows you it's a league right now that's quarterback desperate. At least 16 teams are going to be targeting quarterbacks in the draft and free agency. So, you know, we brought a Kellerman before. Those guys are going to get overdrafted. Free agents are going to get overpaid. So it's just the way it is right now. Quarterbacks are a premium, and it's not meeting there's not enough supply to meet the demand right now.
Overpay. Totally agree with that. I think Joey might have said in some of our pre-show meetings that Deshaun Watson is going to get at least – 3 first round picks, right? I mean, if he moves. So just looking at the market the way it is now and what they're going to pull in there for Matthew Stafford. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be fun to watch. I would assume that if the Rams don't win the Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl next year, this will be considered a bad trade. But who knows? Let's hit the bell and move on to the next topic, because now we're getting to the big one, guys. It's the one we've all been waiting for. Super Bowl 55 between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs, coming on Sunday, February 7th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Currently, Chiefs are favored to win by 3. The Chiefs' money line at minus 171. The Buccaneers' money line at plus 145. And an over-under of 56. Let's start with you, Joey. What's the one thing you're looking for in Super Bowl 55? And then give us your prediction.
As a Giants fan, I had the pleasure of having Steve Spagnuolo as the Giants defensive coordinator in that 2007-2008 season. I was 8 years old when that season took place. But they played Tom Brady and the Patriots, and the one thing I remember from that game is Steve Spagnuolo, you know, bringing a lot of pressure on Brady, disguising a lot of blitzes, specifically with our middle linebacker at the time, Kavika Mitchell. I remember him running like he was going to blitz, dropping off the coverage, acting like he's dropping off the coverage, and then ended up blitzing, and he wreaked a lot of havoc in that game. So I think my one thing to watch for is, you know, a lot of people talk about the Chiefs offense, but I think what's going to win them this game is their defense, and it's been improving week by week. We saw last week against Buffalo, a game that we thought was going to be much closer than it was. Obviously, the Chiefs offense had a good showing, but I really think the Chiefs defense did an excellent job, including their free safety out of Virginia, Juan Thornhill. He had a great game. I saw an article from the guys over at the Draft Network. They always do a great job. But one of them, Benjamin Solak, actually had a great article on Thornhill. You guys should give that a read. So yeah, my key to the game is just Steve Spagnuolo and that Chiefs defense, and I will say the Chiefs win that game 31-21.
Wow, 31-21. Okay, so Chiefs cover, as you heard it here first. We'll see how it goes. It'll be interesting to see if that holds up. Let's go on and move on to talk to Scott. What do you think about the Super Bowl? And give us your pick.
Yeah, before it seems like every time I'm on here, Joey talks about how old he was when something happened. It makes me feel like I'm 100 years old. So once again,
all of us, not just you.
Man, I feel like I need a cane or something. Look, Tom Brady, I think, you know, there was a point in the middle part of the season, Tampa just, I don't know, there didn't look like they had things going on, but I mean, the guy just keeps winning. He went into Green Bay, no fans, but it was freezing cold, and he beat, you know, Aaron Rodgers, who's probably going to walk away with the MVP award. And he just keeps doing it. And I think at some point, you know, there's always the excuses against Brady, and I'm not a Patriots fan at all, obviously, but it just always seems like, oh, it was Belichick, it was the defense, it was the system, it was whatever. The guy's just winning. And I'm just going to stick with him for this one. I think he's going to experience it, really going to play into it for him. Obviously, you know, Chiefs are coming off last year's win, so they've got experience on their team. But the guy just keeps pulling it off. I think their defense is better than people give credit for. They can put a ton of pressure on the quarterback. So right. I think we're going to see that happen. And, it, you know, I'm actually, you know, since we're talking about Goff, I'm going to predict a lower scoring game, you know, that Rams Patriots Super Bowl, who know, I don't remember what the over under was. It was probably 60 and everybody took the over.
And they were way under.
I'm going to say 17-13 Tampa. And wow. I just think it won't turn out the way everybody thinks. I think it's going to look a little bit like that Rams Patriots Super Bowl. We're going to see a ton of defense. The Chiefs off defensive line is going to get pressure on Brady. I think the Tampa defensive line is going to get pressure on Mahomes. I mean, people forget, I think, sometimes. They've got Sue and JPP on that defensive line. I mean, they're going to get back there. So I'm going to go way under and Tampa with the upset.
Wow. Okay. That's one for each side. Adam, what do you think? What's the one thing you're looking for? And give us your prediction.
Yeah, you kind of touched on it. I think the matchup with JPP and Shaq Barrett versus this depleted offensive line, we're talking about Mike Remmers here, guys. Look up Mike Remmers and look at his track record and his past. I think that KC really better have a game plan to get rid of the ball quick. So I think with Shaq Barrett, JPP, they're going to be in attack mode in the beginning. I think it's a risky proposition to do with Tyreek Hill in there. So what I think is going to happen, I think they're going to go into halftime. It's going to be pretty competitive. It's going to be around 20-20, 20-21 at halftime. But I think the third quarter is when Kansas City is just going to blow it open. Mahomes, Hill, just Kelce, it's just going to be too much. And I think, you know, Brady will continue to air it out. They'll get a garbage time touchdown at the end. Final score, 35-27, Kansas City.
Wow, that's going to be some fireworks there. 35-27 with the Chiefs. I have to say this. I felt downright dirty rooting for Tom Brady last a week and a half ago playing against the Packers. Because, as you know, I'm a Bears fan. I hate the Packers. So I have to root against Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the greatest, but I hate him. And I have to say this, that I cannot root for him two times in a row. That's just not going to happen. So therefore, I'm going with the Chiefs, and we'll see how that goes. All right, let's move on to our prop bets, because our prop bets are going to be the next what we do every year. We do prop bets every year. So Scott, Adam, and Joey, we're going to go through each of these one at a time, and I'm just going to ask you for your pick. And okay, so let's go with the first prop bet. Let's go with the coin toss. That's the one everyone loves to pick. Heads or tails? Let's start with you, Scott, and then we'll go Adam and Joey. Scott, what do you think? Heads or tails?
Heads.
All right. And what do you got there? What do you got there, Adam?
Tails.
Tails. And Joey?
Tails.
All right. See, I love the fact you guys all went tails, because two straight tails have been the coin toss, and six of the last seven it has been tails. 29 times it's been tails versus 25 times heads. I'm going tails as well. Tails never fails. All right. Most passing yards, Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady? Patrick Mahomes at minus 155. Tom Brady at plus 120. Let's go ahead and start with you, Scott.
I'll go Brady.
Brady, okay. And let's move on to you, Adam.
Even though Kansas City, I'll say Brady too.
Wow, that's two for Brady. All right. And Joey, Mahomes. All right. Thank you for that. I think Chiefs defense are vulnerable on the ground. I expect to see the Bucs take advantage of that. I am also going with Mahomes on that one at minus 155. All right, next one. Mahomes to throw first, a touchdown or an interception? Touchdown is at minus 370, not a lot of payout there. Interception at plus 260, not bad. All right, what do you guys think? Let's start with you, Scott. Mahomes to throw first, touchdown at minus 370 or interception at plus 260?
Touchdown for sure.
All right, he's going to take touchdown for sure at the minus 370. And what do you got there, Adam?
I'm going to say interception just because, like I said, I think it'll be competitive first half.
Yep. All right. Sounds good. And you get the plus 260 as well. Nice payout. And Joey, what do you want?
Touchdown.
Touchdown. All right. Two of you guys a touchdown. Adam, you got interception. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but the Bucs were tied for the fifth most takeaways during the regular season. And I love getting plus 260 on this. I can see Edwards, Hilaire, Bell, or Williams getting an early touchdown as well. So therefore, I'm going with interception. I'm with you, Adam, and I'm going to take that plus 260. Brady to throw first. Touchdown at minus 320 or interception at plus 240. All right. What do you think, Scott?
I'll go interception.
All right. Taking the money. Plus 240 of the interception. What do you think, Joey?
Interception. It's going to be Juan Thornhill.
You're going to – well, if you take that prop bet, you're probably going to get plus a million in terms of your
call
return.
Call my shot.
Going to call your shot. I love it. This is great.
I remember when I got Juszczyk as the touchdown scorer last year.
Yes, that's right. You had Juszczyk as a touchdown scorer last year as a prop bet. I forgot about that. So, everybody, Juan Thornhill, interception. First, that will be the first thing that happens with Brady between interception and touchdown, interception to Juan Thornhill. All right, Adam, what do you got there?
I'll double down with that. Tom Brady, touchdown to Gronk.
Wow, he's gonna call his shot too. See, this is getting interesting now. I am going to tell you guys that the Chiefs are tied for the 10th most takeaways, so not quite as opportunistic. Not bad. Brady's been proven to throw over and under here and again, and they did have a couple of turnovers last time he was out in the field. Honestly, I just like the money line at plus 240, so I'm going to go with the interception. And I can see Jones and Fournette getting an early rushing touchdown as well, so that may make his first between TD and INT, INT and INT. We'll see. Quarterback to be sacked first, Mahomes or Brady? Mahomes at minus 125, Brady at plus 100. What do you got there, Scott?
I'm going to go Mahomes.
All right, Mahomes, what do you got, Joey?
Can you say that again?
first quarterback to be sacked, Mahomes or Brady? Mahomes at
Brady.
Minus 125, Brady at plus 100. You'll take the money, you'll go with Brady. All right, Adam.
I'll go Mahomes.
Mahomes, all right. So I just think Brady's a lot less money, a lot less mobile, and I love the money line there at plus 100. So Brady it is. Quarterback to throw a touchdown first. Mahomes at minus 120, Brady at minus 105, basically a wash. So it's a pick 'em. Quarterback to throw a touchdown first. What do you think, Scott?
I'll go Mahomes.
Mahomes, all right. And what do you got there, Joey?
Mahomes.
Mahomes and Adam.
Brady.
Brady, he breaks it next to tie, and I'm going to go with Mahomes to bring it on home. I just think that it's just, I don't know. I have a feeling. Let's just go on. Most passing yards with a handicap because everyone thinks that Brady's not going to have as many passing yards. So Mahomes minus 27.5 or Brady plus 27.5. What do you think, Scott?
I'll go Brady.
Brady plus 27.5. All right, Joey?
Mahomes.
Mahomes minus 27.5.
Mahomes.
Mahomes, and I will also go Mahomes at minus 27.5. All right, let's go on to the next one. Chiefs first touchdown, passing or any other touchdown? Passing at minus 220 or get the money line, any other touchdown of plus 170. What do you think there, Scott?
I'll take anything else for plus 170. That's your
yeah,
choice.
I like that. I like the way you think. All right, what do you got, Joey?
I'll take the plus 170. It's a jet sweep to Mecole Hardman.
No, you're going to try to go. You're really – this is the guy who says, you know what, put all my money on 17. That's what you do when you get down to that roulette table, isn't it? Or put it on double zero. I just want double zero. All right, Adam, what do you got here?
Hilaire up the middle, touchdown.
All right. So any other touchdown, plus 170. You know what, I'll just go against you guys and say passing and take the minus 220, even though that's against everything I believe in right now because I just don't want this to be a sweep. So anyway, Buccaneers first touchdown passing at minus 185 or any other touchdown at plus 145. Scott?
Anything else, and it'll be Fournette rushing since we're calling them.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, guys. If anybody wins $1 million on these picks, please, please send us a thank you on Twitter at minimum, or you know, buy us a beer or something. All right, Adam, what do you got?
I can't. Sorry, I broke up. Can you say that one more time?
Buccaneers first touchdown, passing at minus 185, or any other touchdown at plus 145?
Any other touchdown.
All right. And Joey, what do you got?
Let's go passing.
Passing. He breaks it up. And I'm going to go with any other touchdown. I can see this being a Fournette or some combination of Jones or somebody getting rid of that one in there. All right. Let's see what we got here. Let's move ahead and say total net offensive yards. Over 799.5 or under 799.5. So the over-under at 799 total net offensive yards, 799.5. What do you got here, Scott?
Under.
Under. Okay. What do you got here, Joey?
Over.
Over. And what do you have here, Adam?
Under.
Under. And I am also going with the under. I can see that happening. So let's go ahead and move with the most kicking points. Butker or Sucka? Let's go, Scott. Interestingly, Butker at minus 125, Sucka at plus 100.
Yeah, Sucka.
All right. And what do you got, Joey?
Butker.
Butker and Adam.
Sucka.
Sucka. All right. And I will also go with Sucka. I just feel like there's more chances of them stalling there. And see a lot of fourth down attempts in this game for some reason. All right, let's go ahead and move on to total punts in the game, over, under 6.5. Scott?
Over.
Over, okay. And Joey?
Under.
Under. And Adam?
Under.
All right, and I will say this. In 2020, NFL teams averaged an all-time low in 3.46 punts per game. I think there will be plenty of scoring, but perhaps more of our fair share of field goals, probably some fourth down tries. I'm going with the under on that one. All right, here's some fun ones. Length of the national anthem. R&B star Jasmine Sullivan and country singer Eric Church will be joining forces to sing the national anthem. What do you think here, Scott?
Always take the over.
Always take the over. All right, Joey?
But over.
All right, over. Adam?
Try definitely over.
Definitely over. And I think that since there's two of them singing, average length of the Super Bowl, the national anthem is 1 minute, 55 seconds, but there's two of them singing. I think it's definitely going to go over 2 minutes. So take that. Will the weekend first be seen with sunglasses on his face? Yes, minus 140. No, plus 100. All right. What do you think there, Scott? The weekend with sunglasses first?
Yeah, He'll go for the Michael Jackson look, which will age me even further than I already have with Joey. So, yeah.
All right. Brilliant. All right. What do you think, Joey?
No. Under.
No. Or, all right. No, yeah. No. All right. All right. What do you think there, Adam? With or without sunglasses?
I have two little girls. That's the music being played in my house a lot. Save Your Tears. Yeah, he's going to have his sunglasses on to begin
with.
He's going to
have
it, for sure.
Right. I think it's possible, but I did Google it just for fun, and 6 of the first 25 photos on Google search did not have sunglasses. I like the money line value. I'll take note of 100. All right. Will the weekend first be seen with gloves on his hands? Yes, minus 500. No, plus 300. What do you think?
I'll stay with the Michael Jackson theme. I'll say yes.
All right. And he's going to keep channeling his inner Michael Jackson. All right, Joey?
Yeah, he'll have gloves on.
All right. And Adam?
Without a doubt, he will. Yes.
Without a doubt, he will. All right. And I have no idea, but since you guys said yes, I'm going to say yes as well. So the weekend's final guest on stage, Ariana Grande, Drake, Doja Cat, BTS, or Kenny G? Again, Ariana Grande, Drake, Doja Cat, BTS, or Kenny G? All right, Scott?
I mean, just for comedy's sake, I have to say Kenny G.
Kenny G, all right. All right, and let's go with you, Joey. What do you think?
Doja Cat.
Doja Cat, all right. This is mixing it up. I love this. All right, Adam?
I'm going to say the same because, honestly, I know all of them in the Doja Cat. I'm not really that familiar, but I'll say that. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this. Scott is taking the biggest risk. Kenny G at plus 500, so you get a nice big payout if Kenny G comes out with his saxophone. It'll be amazing. I'm going with Ariana Grande. There was a leaked set list by GQ Mexico earlier today, and she did collaborate on Positions. So Ariana Grande is my pick at plus 175. Last one of the day, guys. Will Berger be said by Andy Reid in a post-game on-field interview? Yes at plus 550, no at minus 1,000. So what do you think there, Scott?
Well, I'll take the plus 550 odds, whichever one that was.
Yeah, that's a yes. Yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, as the office said, if somebody gives you 10,000 to 1 odds, you take it. All right, so Joey?
I'm going to go yes, and I'm going to go to the Super Bowl. I'm going to bait that out of him somehow.
He goes, how do you feel about burgers, Andy?
Burgers?
Burgers? Yeah. What do you mean? All right, Adam, what do you think? Yes or no?
I'm going to say yeah, because believe it or not, I got a lot of friends who play college ball, and they do sit around and talk around this stuff, about this stuff, and coaches do. And someone's going to say it, and they're going to put a bet on Vegas. So, yeah, definitely he will.
Yeah, I have a feeling somebody's going to bait him into saying burgers at some point as well. Oh, a full sweep. There you go. We all believe that he's going to say burger in his post-game on-field interview, so keep an eye out for that. Well, that is it. We're at the end of the show. That's a big one. Let's hit the air horn. Woo! That was a big one, guys. That was action-packed because we had so much to cover, and, of course, the Super Bowl coming up. Hey, let's just make it around and give everybody your social media. Let's start with you, Scott.
Yeah, follow me at @NFLFantasy_more on Twitter for more about how much I hate the Lions and how much I hope they don't screw this trade up.
No more fat Matt Stafford is your avatar. That's kind of interesting. So that's fun. Nice new look for your Twitter account. Everyone go check that out. And Joey, how about your social media?
You guys can follow me on Twitter @JoeyIllibro.
All right, and Adam.
As always, follow me @TheBNGReport. And as like we were talking about, my website, we're about a week in right now, theburgundyandgoldreport.com. You'll find all your draft needs, Washington-related content, podcast tonight will be on there, theburgundyandgoldreport.com. Go check it out, guys.
Absolutely. Everybody check it out. Some great content there. And again, thanks for tuning in and wasting time with us. And until next time, enjoy your NFL weekend, Super Bowl 55. We'll be back next week to break that down, so don't miss it. And enjoy the week.